second hour. We're going to have call-ins on the second half of the show after we bring on Richard High. Y'all might know him as Angry Cops. We're going to be talking about the Alex Priddy shooting and the legalities behind it. I'll give you my opinion on whether or not I think it's right or wrong, whether or not I think these officers are going to get in trouble, whether they're going to get charged. But before we even get into that, I want to talk to you guys about this fundraiser that ended up being put out for Mr. Priddy. So far, they've raised over $1.6 million for him, which is insane to me. And I started looking into not just his GoFundMe, but also the funding behind the GoFundMe and where the money is going to be going. And in particular on this one, who the largest donor was that went into it. And it turns out this largest donor that ended up donating $25,000. You guys can see it right up there on your screen from Figs Scrubs. Well, Figs Scrubs also happens to have a CEO that used to work over at Blackstone prior to founding Figs Scrubs, their major uniform supplier throughout the healthcare industry. Of course, you know, Mr. Priddy, he used to be a nurse before he decided it'd be a good idea to play the room temperature challenge with federal officers. So good on him for doing that. And you would think that that $1.6 million would go to helping him out. Maybe it'd go to his family. But at the very bottom of his GoFundMe, written all the way down there, you wouldn't believe it. They have a statement. It's only three paragraphs long. And I question how many people even bothered doing it. It says, if for any reason the funds cannot be transferred to Alex's family, we will not direct the total amount to the Immigrant Defense Project, a nonprofit that provides litigation, advocacy, and community defense resources to help immigrants defend their rights and fight deportation. So if they can't reach Alex's family and they can't get the money to him, they're just going to dump $1.6 million into the Immigrant Defense Project. That's way better than any other life insurance policy I've been made aware of. 1.6 mil going over to the Immigrant Defense Project. And it would seem as if he's also part of this whole Signalgate scandal, which to me is a bit of a problem. So there's that. Then we've got Ilhan Omar over inside Minnesota. Yesterday, she was assaulted by this man over here. He's not exactly the best guy on the planet either. He goes by the name of Anthony Kaczmarek. He ended up squirting a syringe on her, a syringe full of some fluid, and they charged him with third-degree assault. Now everybody's out there screaming that, well, it's possible that this was an entire staged event. And while we can't prove motive, we can certainly see certain things. I want you guys to do me a favor here. There he is, beautiful face he has. I want you to put up the clip of Ilhan Omar just staring at this gentleman prior to him being sprayed, because that most certainly did in fact happen before it ended up going up. Here you can see Ilhan Omar just sitting there, cautiously glancing down at him, the soon-to-be bad man that assaulted her with a syringe, plastic syringe full of some unknown fluid. And throughout this entire time, we can see her literally just staring at him. And this was broadcast on TV. All the TV cameras, pretty much the entire time, made sure they focused directly on him. He was always in frame. He's sitting up front. Now, it could be that the guy's just a weirdo and that Ilhan was looking at him going, yeah, I don't like the way he looks. He's just kind of a creepy-looking guy. Yeah, possibly, or she could have just been waiting for him to do this. It's entirely possible, I think, in my mind. Donald Trump even came out and said that he thinks it's fake. I would tend to agree with him. The whole thing looked like a giant show, to me, anyways. Other people have came out and pointed out that it is a felony to assault a member of Congress. So why is he only being charged with third-degree assault? Why is she trying to draw attention away? I have absolutely no idea. His entire family is extremely left-leaning, by the way. His former wife apparently was a big grassroots organizer, from what I've heard, for Ilhan Omar. His children appear to be of, I don't even want to, you know, go off on kids, but I mean, they look crazy. I mean, they all look like they have just drank in the left's Kool-Aid since the day that they were born. I don't even think they got breast milk. I think they just got left Kool-Aid for lunch, breakfast, and dinner. I don't think they gave them anything else. Well, coming up here in just a little bit, I'm going to have Richard High on the show, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are ready for it. We're going to go over the Minneapolis shooting, and we're going to talk down exactly the legalities that go into it. I hope you guys are looking forward to it, and I look forward to you calling in.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Matt Tardio. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys are ready for this one, because I know some of you guys, I'm going to piss off, some of you guys are going to be extremely excited over the things I have to say. And there's just no other way around it. This seems to be one of those issues that's extremely divided. And when we have a president of the United States that can't even get his facts right, I don't even know what to tell you. Here's Donald Trump coming out stating that he shouldn't have even been carrying a gun. Let's go ahead and play that clip for him.
I haven't heard that, but certainly shouldn't have been carrying a gun. But all of, hey, look, bottom line, everybody in this room, we view that as a very unfortunate incident, okay?
Right.
Everyone,
right.
Unless you're a stupid person, very, very unfortunate incident. I don't like that he had a gun. I don't like that he had two fully loaded magazines. That's a lot of bad stuff. And despite that, I say that's a very unfortunate incident.
Well, yeah, very, very unfortunate. And maybe it's very unfortunate that he's got a director of the FBI that's feeding him some bad information as well. Apparently, the president of the United States doesn't. Well, he said he shouldn't have been. He didn't say he can't do it. But you know who did say he couldn't do it? That would be the director of the FBI, Kash Patel. Let's go ahead and play that clip for people at home.
You do that anywhere, this FBI is going to be following, leading the charge to arrest those.
But how was he threatening Border Patrol? You've collected the evidence, you said, right? You have the handgun in your possession?
That's right.
And how was he using that handgun in terms of threatening Border Patrol? What was the threat? He had his camera, right? He was filming it.
That's something that I will let the DHS and the prosecutors, because they are the ones investigating that case. I don't want to stylize that evidence. But I trust the men and women on the ground who are trained professionals to only use it when it's absolutely necessary. And I trust Secretary Noem's leadership and DHS and HSI to do the right thing, as they've always done in these scenarios. As Christy said, you cannot bring a firearm loaded with multiple magazines to any sort of protest that you want. It's that simple. You don't have that right to break the law and incite violence.
Oh, well, it turns out you do have that right. The FBI doesn't enforce state statutes. And as a matter of fact, over inside the great state of Minnesota, I looked up the law. It turns out that you can carry a gun to a protest over there. I couldn't find anything in the statutes that says otherwise. So he would have been legally carrying. Now, there's an argument that he didn't have his license on him and he didn't have his license to carry on him. All of that aside, none of that technically really matters when we look at the legalities of the shooting. And here to help me break it down is Richard High. You guys might know him as Angry Cops. Man is a legend, and I'm so happy to have him on the show. Rich, sir, thank you for taking the time and coming on the show.
Yeah, man. Glad I could be here and help break some stuff down.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so let's just go dive right into it. But before we even do that, do you have any preconceived notions about this? I know I first talked to you about this. You were kind of saying that you don't really have all the facts. You looked at it the same way I did. We don't really have all the facts as far as it goes. Has your mind changed on this?
Yeah, it has. You know, there's been so many. One of the difficult things about policing now is that there's cameras everywhere. But one of the best things about policing now is that there's cameras everywhere, right?
Right.
So whenever you have a singular incident like this happened, everybody's got their phone out, including our quote unquote the victim or the deceased, right? You're going to get a million different angles. And the first day we had one, maybe two, and then within a couple hours of that, and the following days came in, you had umpteen different angles, umpteen different slowdowns. Unfortunately, you had a whole bunch of AI assisting in some of these things and making fools out of a lot of people, quite frankly. But in the end, kind of slowing everything down, looking at, I think it was like 5 minutes before the shooting happened when he was in the middle of the road being told to move. And then you see the engagement that ended his life, where it's the pepper spray, the falling over one another, and then the detainment and arrest leading to then the shots fired. Awful, but awful is the phrase that comes to mind. It looks sloppy. It looks like bad tactics used by the ICE agents and crowd control, but it looked like a lawful shoot. Once detained, you have a firearm. You then fight with officers. Somebody yells gun. Individuals have a reasonable belief to think that they may be under a threat of physical violence, potentially not fatal violence. I forget what the term
lethal
that I'm
force.
Lethal force.
Serious or great bodily injury. Yeah.
So then lethal force is authorized. And if you have that reasonable belief that lethal force is authorized, that, you know, your person, your other agents are in imminent danger of loss of life, limb, eyesight, you're going to react as if, well, that's the case, and then fire. Now, you can say that the removal of the pistol and the SIG going off there was on its own because it's a SIG P320, which is its own. Yeah, I know, right? Everybody who knows the SIG P320. Even the president said something about it, which makes you go, well. Could have been that, or it could have been poor trigger discipline by the ICE agent. Either way, the agents that are involved that hear gun and then hear a gunshot, reacting to that gunshot with lethal force is completely authorized. Now, like I said before, poor tactics? Yes. Bad shoot? No. It's a good shoot. When I say good shoot, I mean it's a legal shoot.
Right. And so
we can go further into detail into that, but.
Well, we'll talk about that here in just a minute because we got a couple minutes left. One of the first things that we look at, you know, and it goes back to the fruit of the poisonous tree type deal, right? If they didn't have a legal reason for contact, a legal reason to even detain the guy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then we've got an issue, right? So that's the first thing I'm going to go to. Did those officers have a legal reason in order to contact him? And from what we can tell from the video footage that's already out there on the street, they did, in fact, have a legal reason to contact him. We know they were there in the area on official business. It appears that they told him to move back and he was disobeying those lawful orders. And there's a misconception that's been floated around, especially on social media, that ICE agents cannot detain or arrest U.S. citizens. And that's false. They can. They absolutely can if they're breaking federal law. Those are federal law enforcement officers. If you are violating federal law, or if you assault, which we'll get to in a second, if you assault a federal law enforcement officer, you absolutely can be detained by an ICE agent, right? Same thing with obstructing. So when they're disobeying those lawful orders, he's not moving back. At that point, they have, number one, reason to detain him, and two, possibility underneath obstruction in order to arrest him. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree. And I would point to the several minutes before the physical engagement that you see where he loses his life. He was already in the middle of the road, contacted by, it was a thicker guy. The individual that maced him was like a skinnier ICE agent. There was a larger, you know, more studly dude that was in the middle of the road with him, pushing him back, saying, hey, you need to get out of the road. Pushing him back physically off the road towards the sidewalk. Then what happens? 2 minutes later, he re-engages, right? So you've already got the obstruction. You already have the information given to the individual by officers. Hey, you're obstructing. You could be arrested. You need to move back. He ignores those. Re-engages officers, gets the pepper spray.
And well, then first he gets shoved back.
The tussle happens.
First he gets shoved back, right. So if you guys wouldn't mind for me throwing this up on the screen, there's an image I have, a still image of where he's actually shoving one of the federal officers. So the officers end up, they go and they push him back. And then one of the other officers goes to push a lady out of the way. So they're treating all of these people the exact same way. They were pushing him back. They were using force on him. And then they went over and they were pushing a lady back. And the moment they went to push the lady back, this suspect goes up and gets in the face of the ICE officer and puts his hands on him and appears as if he's pushing back from two different angles. Now, to the best of my knowledge, that's assault on a law enforcement officer. You're at that point, you put your hands on, there it is right there. He goes in. And what the witnesses are stating is that he was trying to defend that woman who is being assaulted by the law enforcement officer, allegedly. That's what the witness states. He was trying to defend the woman when he pushed that cop in that moment and got up in there and pushed him back. And at that point, you're assaulting a law enforcement officer. And I haven't even bothered even looking whether or not it's a felony under federal law, but it's a felony pretty much in every other place I've looked. So I would assume so.
Not in New York.
Either way, it's going to be a crime. Not in New York? Really?
No.
Probably California?
No, you can whoop my ass in New York. You'll get a misdemeanor. Thanks. Oh, thanks, that's Kathy Hochul and our AG, Letitia James. Don't even get me started.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So besides communist New York and probably places like California, but I'm pretty sure federal law, it's going to be a felony, right? Let's Most even likely. Say it's a misdemeanor. Despite what Don Lemon thinks, misdemeanors are crimes and you can get arrested for committing crimes, even if it's crossing right. the border, right? So anyways, he assaults. At that point, they have a legal reason to arrest him and at a bare minimum detain him. At that point, they could have detained him just out of safety concerns because he's not following orders and they need to control
even the obstruction. So, he's already been told to get out of the street. He's intervening in the middle of an arrest or detainment. That's you've got obstruction right there.
Right. So now let's talk about the tussle that ends up taking place. At one point during the tussle, they end up hearing gun. One of the officers, I'm not sure who it is, shouts gun. The officer who we now assume ended up pulling the trigger upon hearing gun. You see him back away. He was looking over behind, kind of, you know, acting almost like a cover officer for a moment, and he hears gun. And you see him tune in, and then he reaches down into his holster, and he starts to pull the gun out of his holster. At the same time, the other agent ends up grabbing the suspect's firearm off of his belt loop and pulling it out off of his hip, pulls it out the holster, and starts to run away with the SIG. Now, you had mentioned it earlier, but maybe people that are watching this don't know it. The SIG 320, it's got issues. Right. You search this all over social media. You can depress that trigger like a millimeter and you start jiggling the slide and the dang thing goes boom. Right. The dang thing will just go boom. So there you've got the gun being removed off of him. And there you go. And there's that officer that likely fired that first fatal shot coming over behind him. And the problem is when you're in a high stress environment, and I don't care how long this officer has been on the force. I don't care how much stuff he has. The moment you hear gun and you start thinking it's a lethal situation, most people tend to get tunnel vision. And they start looking for things like clear line of sight. They start making sure they're not going to shoot their buddies. They're checking safety and everything else. Would you agree with that assessment? So there is a good probability that he didn't see the gun. And this is important.
Another thing to add into that is while the officer says gun and is removing the firearm from the suspect, what is he still doing? He's still resisting.
He's still fighting. So right.
You hear gun, you are still engaging a resisting individual. That's that term gun from another officer is telling you, oh, he's got a gun. Nobody says gun because we're there with firearms. We bring a gun to every call that we're on.
Bingo.
But when you hear gun, and I've been in a bunch of tussles like this from another officer, that's him saying out loud, hey, this person is armed. We are already fighting them. And what happens? Alex continues to resist. Alex continues to give physical resistance to officers while they're trying to arrest him. And all the other officers know he's got a gun on him.
Right.
So,
and there's no telling if he has a second firearm or a second weapon on him.
That officer doesn't know. Plus one theory. Plus one theory is something that is taught in policing from day one in the academy. Just because there is one weapon does not mean that you're done searching an area. There could always be another one. And there's been numerous cases where I've been on the street conducting traffic stops or getting involved in gang activity where I'm searching an area and I find 1, 2, 3 firearms and 4 or 5 knives on individuals, like in different pockets and in their shoes, hidden under their underwear. Just because right. one firearm is removed does not mean that a threat is over. And on top of that, you still have the individual resisting arrest, physically resisting officers.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's something that I point out to like my viewers over on my podcast, right? So here we've got a H&K VP9 on me, right? It's empty. H&K VP9. This is about the size of the firearm that he was carrying. P320. I don't own a SIG P320 because I know better. This is a 22LR pen gun. This thing right here shoots a 22LR projectile. This is also a firearm. It's legal to own. As long as you manufacture it yourself, you can't buy them anywhere, things like that. We've got different laws that ended up going into that, right? But that's a firearm. Not to mention you have knives and you have all sorts of other objects, and the cops also have firearms on them. And so when that cop hears that 320 go off, which is what I believe we're assuming at this point, is that it was the 320 that ended up going off. That would be the suspect's firearm that got removed from him. It's then reasonable for that officer to believe. And the reason I use the term reasonable goes down to different Supreme Court cases. And I've got a lot of them laid out over here in front of me. And what people do not realize is that the Supreme Court of the United States has affirmed time and time and time again that the simple fact that that firearm was removed off of him does not mean that police are not authorized to still use lethal force. Because what it really boils down to is the officer's perspective. And if the officer perceives a threat, if a reasonable officer in that officer's position would perceive that threat, then generally speaking, the Supreme Court is going to side with the officer. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, you're right. You're dead on. And how many officers there are aware that a firearm's in play? Numerous. Why? Because we communicate with one another. Gun. He's not just saying that so the crowd that's recording there can, you know, watch an execution happen. He's saying that because his buddies, including himself, need to understand that they are fighting with an armed suspect now.
Yeah, that's 100% what needs to go on right there, that they are fighting with an armed suspect. And the facts of the case will come out here in a little bit and determine why the officer decided to pull the trigger at that period of time. And people are pointing and saying, hey, it's a cell phone in his hand. And I think the other big thing that people don't realize is how quickly these situations end up evolving. And even the Supreme Court, I believe, has used that language, extremely intense and rapidly evolving environment, right? So by the time that the officer sees something in his hand, when a firearm has already been identified being on the suspect and he sees it in his hand, what people do not realize is that that potential firearm could be oriented and fired before the human body can perceive it and react to it, which generally speaking ends up getting people shot, right? And 99.9% of times that there is a gun on you and you are resisting an arrest, there's a high probability you're going to end up dead or shot or wounded or severely injured by law enforcement. It's just a fact. Force will be used. And I don't think that this case is going to be any different.
An important thing that you brought up is the environment, right? People aren't really talking about the environment. They're just saying he's in a protest, right? He's in a protest and officers engaged him, and now that there's a fight, right? What's going on? You've got, we've all seen it, you know, the crazy pink-haired ladies and dudes screaming at the top of their lungs, fascist. They're intentionally bringing bullhorns. They're using whistles, the high decibels, so then you can ruin our hearing so we can't hear anything. So the protesters are adding an additional intentional chaos to the incident. Because what do they want? They want the worst case scenario to happen, which is what ended up happening. So right. If people are going to say they need to communicate better, or there was a breakdown in communication or a lack of communication, and that's what caused this, and that's why the officers are to blame. Who's to blame for the lack of communication? None of the protesters there that are screaming fascist, that are blowing their whistles, that are using their bullhorns and intentionally creating a scene that is even more difficult to police? It's one of those things you have to think about is somebody that's out there that's protesting with some of these people or instigators, that's another topic.
And we could talk about it. You know, number one, feds, they don't get enforced whether or not the guy is carrying a firearm legally within the state. That's not what they do. Right. however, there is one aspect of this that I look at and I say there might be an issue here. And I kind of want to get your take on it, of all things.
Shoot.
As the suspect is falling down to the ground after the first shot's fired, there is an officer that's backing away and continues to pump rounds into him while he's already laid down on the ground. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to be a good shoot? Supreme Court has said that it's based on a conscious act. And I'm pretty sure the individual that fired that second string of shots was not the first officer in the shooting. And so what's your take on that? Because a lot of people
it's one of the totality of the circumstances, right? When you have an incident where there's a shooting, all right, I think we both know that not everybody is, you know, a speed shooter. They're not drawn. They're not going to in the middle of the town at noon, all right, to draw down on somebody. When you're involved in an altercation and somebody's firing rounds and you're going to try and stop the threat, quote unquote, right? Because at that moment, while rounds are being fired, officers are believing that person is a threat to their lives, right? A legitimate threat because we've got a gun involved. We've heard a firearm go off. Now we're engaging. How long does it take that person to now unholster after disengaging from the individual to now put their sights on them and then fire? And then the totality of the environment, and this could be argued, but it'll likely fall on its face per previous Supreme Court rulings. I think the space between the shots are like 2 seconds. It's like 4 or 5 rounds in 2 seconds. A pause of a second and a half and 2 seconds, and then 3 rounds as he's moving. So one of the things that everybody's taught is you shoot to end the threat. If somebody fires, the firing pauses and the individual is still moving, is legal to still continue to fire, but there still has to be a threat. Is he still reaching his waistband? Is he still going for the holster that you see on his hip? It's one of those things where the officer's, one, going to have to give a good interview on why he shot them. And two, you have to look at the totality of the circumstances and then the timeline in it. One of the things that people do online is they slow things down to where it's a millisecond. And you're like, see, she turned her tires to the right. That means that this is a total bad shoot and it's murder. No. Half a second is not something that you can base an individual's overall, is this a correct use of force, entire legal defense or prosecution on.
Oh, right. And coming up here in the next couple minutes, I'm actually have people call in and take some questions from them if they would like to call in. And the number to call in, by the way, is 867-789-2539. If you guys want to start calling in, start doing it right now and get your butt screened in there. I don't care if you guys want to argue. I don't care if you disagree or you guys just want information. You're more than welcome to do that. And Rich, if you got the time and you want to hang out, I forgot to tell you about it, but you're more than welcome to hang out and take calls if you got the time. But I'm just letting everybody know that I didn't give you that warning and I'm just calling you out on air being like, hey, man, if you want, you're more than welcome to do it. But
how dare you?
You also have a life.
Of course I'll
you
stay.
Also have a life.
Forced
oh,
into
this. Great. This will be fun. Oh, I love this. This is going to be a good time. I really look forward to it then, man. Awesome. Awesome possum. All right, man. So let's talk about that one. Let's talk about the good shooting, because a lot of people
literally
just left before we go to commercial.
A good shoot and also
a good shoot.
Good was shot.
Yeah. A good shoot and good was shot. People do not understand how the law actually works. Can you explain to everybody why a motor vehicle, not that we should have to, wielded in the manner in which it was, is lethal force. And whether or not she angled her tires, it goes back to the same thing that we're talking about, whether or not the officer even knew the guy was disarmed or not. It's based on the officer perspective. So why is, I can't believe I have to say this, why is a motor vehicle considered a lethal weapon?
Well, to put it simply, it's a 2,000-pound bullet that you can steer. So if you don't want to be, if you think just off to the side of a firearm means you don't get to defend yourself, well, just barely in front of a vehicle, you also get to defend yourself. Like, I don't understand where that logic comes in. And maybe too many people have been hit by their significant other during a domestic when they run them over because they're upset because little Jimmy didn't get dropped off in time to school the following day, right? I get it. Maybe that's your lifestyle. But most people don't want to have a 2,000-pound vehicle pointed at them and then hear the engine go revving up and then say, well, you know what? Maybe I'm not in the exact right position in order to actually put these rounds off. And one thing that I find amazing about this that entire incident is the ICE agent walks in front of the vehicle to get around it. And people act as though he intentionally put himself there before the car
right,
started
he's filming
moving.
The entire time. He's walking around filming the whole thing. And right
so
there, where that
up
vehicle backs up, she points the vehicle at him.
Yeah.
She points the vehicle at him. Now, here's the other crazy part that I look at too in this. I want to hear your take on this because, I mean, we only got a couple seconds left, but hell with it. I'm going to spit it out there real quick. I think the fleeing felon rule could apply here. I absolutely think the fleeing felon rule could apply here because she just hit that officer and she has the potential of steering her vehicle and hitting another one. That officer could have shot her in the back of the head and it would have been a good shoot all day long if he had reasonable fear that another officer could have been injured. Your take, you got 10 seconds.
On the fleeing felon rule, there'd have to be more people in front of her. My thing is she's detained from the moment the lights turn on, the officer gets out of the vehicle in his uniform, yells, get out of the car, stop the car, and then says it again as he tries to open the door, and then she flees. From anything after that moment, you've made the wrong decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you. It helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm joined right now by Richard High. You guys might know him as Angry Cops, and he is one hell of a cop. Rich, you ready to start taking some calls with some of these folks and see what they got on their mind?
I can't tell you how actually excited I really am about this. I've never done this before, and I'm suited, dude. I'm suited.
I used to do it on my podcast quite a bit, and people would call in, and then it's hit or miss. You know, it's hit or miss on what you get. I had some guy that liked to call in and just drop the N-word left and right, like every time, just to try to get my show shut down. It's like, dude, you used to drive me nuts. Anyways, we're gonna bring up Hammer Hardy from, First Amendment, baby, First Amendment, just not on YouTube. We're gonna bring up Hammer Hardy over inside of Florida. Hammer, can you hear both myself and Rich?
Yes, sir. Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking my call. I'm calling tonight because I felt very, very compelled because I heard Jake Lang a few days ago calling for people to come out into the street. And I want to say that that's basically just going to resort in a mindless street brawl. I've already seen this before in Portland back in 2019. When we had a big rally, we had hundreds of patriots come from all over the country to go stand up against Antifa. And what I learned was that the real problem is the local government, because when we crossed that bridge over the river and Antifa started to follow us, I thought, wonderful, this is perfect. So now we can show that we're the ones that are in the self-defense position and they're the aggressors. But I had one of the local Portland cops say, it doesn't matter if you're defending yourself. You're going to be blamed and you're going to be arrested if you stay here and fight. Now you need to get out of here. So if we all go out there to Minnesota and, you know, we're, you know, hundreds of patriots and we're going to stand up against all of these leftists, it doesn't matter that we're in the right. The local government is going to throw everybody in jail. And where's Jake Lang going to be then? Is he going to help pay for people's bail? Is he going to help pay for people's legal bills? No. Everybody's basically going to be left out there to fend for themselves. And I've said this before, we need to start thinking like a mafia, not a militia. This is a completely different form of warfare. I've seen this before. I've been through this before. And I don't want to see people led into a trap.
Well, I mean, number one, I just want to start off by saying this. I do not I agree with some of Jake's statements, but I want to make it perfectly clear. I do not support that man. That man, in my opinion, is a massive racist. I can't even count videos that I've seen of him giving Nazi salutes, dropping the N-word. I believe he stood outside of a building saying you're not going to turn America into N-word lovers, things of that nature, right? And he does extremely offensive things. So people need to do their research on that man, first and foremost. And I will say, second, if we're going to be sending people over into Minnesota to go protest, those federal judges have set a standard. And Rich, I want to get your take on this too. I think those federal judges set a standard by not arresting What's his dang name? Don Lemon. All you got to do is grab a camera and go stand in the middle of a mosque and just start shoving it into the face of the imam after he tells you to get out. And all of a sudden you're just protecting, you're just going along with the First Amendment. What do you think, Rich?
Well, one of those things that I think protects Don Lemon that he uses as a shield and also as a cudgel is that he's a member of the press, right? People say that they're a member of the press, but you actually have to become a paying member of the press and get credentials. Right. You're not just a member of the press because you show up with a camera and you have a YouTube channel. You actually have to pay for credentials to be a member of the press. And Don Lemon uses that as an advantage. So that way he can piss and moan and say whatever he wants to do and then get away with it. Right. It's more of a tactical decision from him. It also is a form of validation to where people look at him and say he's a real media personality, even though he's garbage, personal opinion. But I will say this. I think you're right. If Don Lemon and these people that went into the church to protest, or I don't even know if it was to protest. Wasn't it to just find ICE agents and harass them?
No, it was to interrupt. No. One of the priests at the church, was director of the local ICE office. And so that's why they went to protest at that particular church. Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to befriend that guy? Wouldn't you as a protester want to say, don't you feel like this is more morally reprehensible to you? Or don't you want to work with us? Or can you show me the things that you're doing in your body of work that's making sure that these people are treated well as a Christian, as a believer in Christ? But instead, what you want to do is you want to go up to him, whether that's him or not, one of the other parishioners could have been him, and say and threaten him in a house of worship when he's literally preaching,
the kids, everybody.
Hey, forgiveness, you know? It's mind-numbingly dumb.
It's insane. And Don to claim that he didn't know what was going on. Dude, my butt, he didn't know what was going on. But like I said, the federal judges, in my opinion, set a precedent.
Be careful. He might like
that. I would not be surprised. Yes, he would. I would not be surprised if we see people actually doing exactly that. I would not be surprised if we see Jake Lang pushing people to do exactly that, to go into those mosques because of that. So Hammer, dude, thank you, by the way, for your point. Like, we do need to be thinking about this way more strategically. If you're out on the street identifying as a patriot, obey the dang law. Set the example, like, be a good citizen, you know, as all of these nut jobs end up saying, what's your name? Good citizen. All right, good citizen. Well, I mean, try to do that. All right, man, we got another call.
You follow state firearms policies. Okay. If you go armed.
Yeah. Yeah. Look up, especially
state lines,
if you're director of the FBI.
Minnesota, when they don't recognize another state's pistol permit thing, because now you're going to be violating, you're going to be carrying illegally in the state of Minnesota.
Make sure you got the reciprocity. And how, yep. By the way, how embarrassing was that for Cash Patel? Did you hear that segment I played where Cash was like,
oh,
you just can't do that. It's illegal. And I'm like, you're the director of the FBI.
Brother, I've got a video coming out. It's either going to be tonight or tomorrow morning. And it's a complete breakdown of the incident to include Cash Patel, John Stewart, who's lost his mind, and a couple other people that have said some absolute asinine things. Of course you're allowed to protest with a firearm. How many Second Amendment rights protests have you seen where people are open carrying intentionally in order to show that the Second Amendment is true? It's alive. We're utilizing it today. And on the opposite side of that, how many Black Panther morons have we seen with 22 long rifle conversion kits that aren't even loaded, sitting on the backs of cars, like almost openly threatening ICE agents? Like, is that not a protest?
I can forgive a lot of people for making that statement, but the director of the FBI, come on, man. All right, let's bring up Michael from Washington State. Michael, are you there, sir? And can you hear us?
I am, and I'm enjoying the conversation. A couple of things just from what you guys have been discussing. One is Don Lemon himself is a racist. Cash Patel is also uninformed as an FBI director, and he doesn't know about the Second Amendment. But I will say one thing. It does vary state by state. I told your screener, I was a former prosecutor. I was in the military for 30 years as well, and I did. I was a prosecutor in the military. But one thing, like state by state, Washington State, for example, has passed some laws that prohibits the carrying of firearms during a demonstration or in parades and sort of public gathering sort of thing. So some states do outlaw it. But what I wanted to talk about was with Good and Preddy. Assume that they weren't shot, and just to analyze prior to them being shot, were they engaged in conduct that was criminal? And it does appear so. In both of their cases, they were there at criminal conduct by each of them, at the very least, obstruction of federal law enforcement. And I think that's pretty clear. And then the question, I think context for both of these shootings is going to be, what's the context? Because we're very myopic when we look at these films and we just see what happened in the instant. But we don't draw back and look, what's the context? And the same thing happened with Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, we have to see the context of when he was initially being pursued and chased and hounded, and he had to go through all his machinations and then ended up having to use a firearm to defend himself. The same thing with these two. There is zero doubt, in my opinion, and this is kind of what I wanted to see if you guys agreed with, that it's pretty well understood now from objective viewing that there is a weaponization of far left people in Minnesota. And Minnesota is, I've been to Minnesota. Anybody who's been there knows that it's very far left. You have a bunch of these white, super educated, indoctrinated liberals, and they're just so far left. They've been weaponized, and I think Preddy and Good are both falling into that category. And so you have people who are their managers who basically send them in as the useful idiots to cause problems. And this is the intended outcome. This is what the leftists want to have happen, and that is to provoke an incident to create martyrs. And they've done that. And so now we're in the optics phase where the info wars is happening. Who can win the hearts and minds? And yeah. I have to say the left is doing a pretty good job. Sorry to speak so long, but I just kind of wanted to give you my perspective on these things.
Rich, your thoughts?
Damn, there's a lot to break down there. when it comes to, I know you said that like there's people in Minnesota and there's a large degree of people there are liberal. You know, they're it's a homogenous society for the most part until, you know, obviously a bunch of Somalis move in and start taking all the money out of the local government. But I think it's important that when you have these massive scale protests, the individuals and the professional protesters, the intentional agitators are showing up. And that point of taking a large group so that there's like anonymity in it. I say, hey, I'm the professional agitator. I'm the professional protester. Guys, I want you to do this, 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 and this to a large anonymous group, right? And people lose their anonymity in that large group. Then they go and do something. Now, the intent of the agitator is to create a scenario in which there is a lose-lose for whatever entity that they're going against. We'll say ICE because that's what's happening right now. And when that lose-lose situation happens, they love it. Because what happens is maybe not a loss of life for the individual that's a protester, but maybe they're arrested or they're roughed up a little bit. But they're cannon fodder. And then they get to use that individual person's identity of, oh, she's a Karen. She's a nice, well, not a Karen, but she's a nurse at a VA hospital. And they're very, now they're an individual once they become a victim in their eyes, once they've been used as cannon fodder. And then what do they get to do? They use that to push against ICE or whatever entity that they're pushing against. Look at this individual as a group now, ICE as a group. Look at how bad they are. So I think a lot of this is professional protesters getting involved and manipulating some of the local people in Minneapolis to do their bidding. I agree with that part from the caller. I forgot his name.
Yeah, and sir, I want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for your continued service to the country and the community and everybody else. And Rich, if nobody's told you lately, because I know you catch a lot of hate for being in law enforcement and also for your service to the country, thank you for your service too, sir.
Don't make me roll my eyes. You're welcome.
I know, but hey, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
And I do it for the coffee for a six and pack. For the Applebee's that I get on
the Applebee's. I think you guys are both right, man. And I think the fundraiser that got set out for old Mr. What is it? Preddy? It's a weird name, man. And mine's Tardio, and I'm telling him he's got a weird name. Yeah, for Mr. Preddy, the end of his GoFundMe, when they're talking about any proceeds that can't go to Alex's family for whatever reason, are going to end up going to the Immigrant Defense Project. And there's 1.6 mil sitting in there. I call them cannon fodder, useful idiots, things of that nature. But I think they're weaponizing him for dang sure, man.
You mean they're going to use this incident for money to fund more of the things that they're doing to ruin
our
country?
Say it ain't so. People are like, where is it they're getting money for these signs? Like, where could they possibly be getting the money for these signs and all the protests?
Yeah, not everything is George Soros. You know, it can be smaller entities that are good at crowdfunding.
That very well could be. All right, let's bring up Adam from Missouri, Rich, because he's got a question for you about some claims, apparently. And I'm hoping it has to do with what you were doing over in the Buffalo school system, personally.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, sir, can you hear us?
Yeah. Hey there, guys. Now, I wasn't going to talk about the Buffalo school system, but I'd love to hear more on that, too. Rich, that's an honor, man. I'm sure this is a weird situation. Yeah, taking calls, though, when you're a YouTuber, kind of a weird deal. But, shout out to a mutual friend of ours, Gary Nerdorotic. Been on my show a couple times. Love that guy. Love that you guys are associated. I want to know, because there are some weird conversations going out there right now with a lot of fake posts. People have already addressed the claims that in Minnesota, supposedly, you're not supposed to be able to go to a demonstration with firearm. I looked up bullshit. No one. I had a huge conversation with somebody who I had to just shut up. Going on, and I heard you just begin the show that he is a legal gun concealed carry owner. We know that. But that he didn't have his ID on him. Is there any actual claim? One, is there substantiation that he didn't have actual physical ID on him? And is that any real reason to upscale this claim that he was there illegally?
I've got my thoughts on it, Rich. Why don't you, you want a shot at it?
Oh, yeah. So I call these Karen laws. Now, Karen laws are useful for law enforcement to get further into something. It's not a loophole. It's just a law that has to go inside. That has to coincide with something else. And I'll use a car for an example, right? You're driving a car. You need a license for it, similar to a pistol. When you get pulled over, some states say, hey, even though we've got a database, we still need you to carry your license for an ID when driving, right? How many people get tickets for not having their license on them when they get pulled over by a trooper? Not many, even if they don't have it on them, because we can look it up. Same thing with firearms. For the most part, there is a database where you can look up if you're not carrying your firearm. I have never, ever charged somebody, and I can't speak for anybody else, but I've never seen anybody else get charged for not having their ID on them. That's a red herring that, although is true, yes, he should have had his ID on him, showing that he is a legal permit holder and can carry concealed. But does that make him better or worse, or is it a moot point? Because that has nothing to do with the rest of the scenario. I think the second. I think what it tries to do is it tries to make your Second Amendment right, something that the Gestapo can stop you for.
1,000%. It's a moot point because it has absolutely nothing to do with the legalities of whether or not the officers, why they shot him and at all. And I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to paint the guy in a bad light because he doesn't have it. The case and the shooting should stand on its own merits. So people that are bringing that up, number one, are idiots, in my opinion, if they're using that as an argument against or anything. And I agree with you also, Rich. I mean, it's a Karen law. Over in Colorado, where I was a law enforcement officer, we had high-capacity magazines, right? And if you were using a high-capacity magazine in commission of a crime, it could be an enhancement charge that ends up getting thrown on at the end. And I remember I had a guy beaten the living breaks off of his girlfriend in a car. They didn't know, even though I walked up behind him. And I just catch this dude, like, leaned over, just going to town on her. And I immediately run over to the passenger side, rip this dude out the car. He's got a AK pistol on his lap that ended up falling down on the ground. And he's got a couple other unserialized firearms on himself that he admits that he bought from his buddy, which is a big no-no, right? Like if you're building firearms, you can keep them for yourself. But the moment you build a firearm and it's unserialized and you transfer it, it's a big no-no. But this idiot ends up telling me that, right? But either way, I look at this guy and I hate domestic violence. I hate domestic violence. I hate people that like domestic violence abusers, the freaking worst. And so I'm looking at every charge I can throw on this guy. And I'm sitting down there. My buddy's like processing him through the jail, right? Like running over. And I'm sitting there working on his paperwork. And I got another buddy sitting next to me. And I go to put the magazine charge on there because it enhances it up to like a felony, right? So I'm enhancing him. Ends up getting slapped with a felony. And I'm like, I kind of want to do it. My buddy's like, don't you dare do it. That's an unconstitutional law and you know it. And I'm like, but he's domestic violence. But yeah, man, it's a Karen law. They're Karen laws. They're Karen laws.
They are Karen laws. Yeah. We have a Karen law in New York State. It's the maximum capacity magazine for people. And when it's just like in New York State, the civilian population is limited to how many rounds they can carry in their firearm, like their pistol, their self-defense weapon, right? Legal carriers, New York State permit, one of the most difficult ones to get. Kathy Hochul's made it harder, right? More stipulations, more training. Training is good, but not when the government forces you to do it for a right that you should have naturally, right? And yet, the only way that you can get a high-capacity magazine, high-capacity over 10 rounds in New York State is if you're a law enforcement officer. So that means, everybody that gets private security and law enforcement to, you know, parade them through the street, sometimes literally with lights and sirens on, you get all the rounds that you need in order to defend yourself, but not the local populace of the United States, which coincides with our Kash Patel. He had two magazines on him. Oh, God, clutch your pearls, dude.
I'm actually good on him for carrying two mags, but he should have acted maybe a little bit more responsible and not fought back, which, by the way, he also got a rib broken the week prior for fighting the feds as well. Or so it would seem. That's what the report came out via CNN, by the way.
I wasn't sure about if that was confirmed or not yet. But if that is, hey, last week you decided to fight the feds. Did you have a pistol on you then when you were getting in physical altercations intentionally with law enforcement? Because now it just seems like you're intentionally trying to be a martyr now. I want you to shoot me so then I can be the guy that everybody looks up to, the next George Floyd or Rosa Parks or whatever you want.
Yep. Oh, there he goes. There he goes. There he goes. It's beautiful.
So that time he wasn't carrying a pistol or?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
It's almost like he intended to get arrested and then knew that if he carried a pistol, it could end poorly for him and then decided to change tactics a week later.
Which is known as suicide by cop, which is why I want to bring up Bart from Texas, because he's got a comment on suicide by cop, apparently. So, Bart, sir, can you hear us?
Yeah.
What you got, friend?
Well, yes, sir. One, you're from Colorado, so obviously you went through that whole communization back in the 90s. When did you?
No, I didn't. It's where I retired from the military. And then I was like, crap, I got to get a job. What am I going to do? I was like, I'll be a cop. So that's how that happened.
Best decision ever.
Fascinating. Okay. Well, I'm a fugitive from there. But yeah, you just brought up the point. If you put two Minnesota cops out there on that line, which weren't doing their job by basically holding back protesters, right, past that line, that guy would have committed suicide by cop. That first heard that term in Colorado by one of the talk show hosts there, who I don't have a lot of respect for various and sundry reasons. But the point is that's exactly the optic that I heard discussed previously, and that's a cogent point, so I appreciate it. And it sounds to me like you guys are doing a good job of following the law, identifying the stuff, and making darn sure that that people are aware of it. I don't care who you piss off, but yeah. Okay. And I'm sure it would be suicide by cop in New York, too. So,
I mean, doing what he did is, like I said, 99.9% of the time is going, you're going to get your forehead canoed. Like, it's just going to happen, you know, like, shot in the small of his back or wherever it is that he ended up getting hit. You're taking the room temperature challenge, you know? So it's just stupidity on my, it's stupid for him to do what he did.
Yeah.
At what point do we start blaming people in society for what they did? Right. At what point do we stop looking for other people to blame and start acting like adults in this country and taking responsibility for our own actions? That's what we're missing in this country.
Yeah, it's called position, heal thyself. And I was going to bring up one more thing if I'm still on.
Well, you are, but we're running out of time, sir. So I'm unfortunately going to have to cut you off, but I appreciate you coming in. Sorry to cut you so short. Rich and I got carried away, but thank you very much. Rich, do me a favor, sir. Tell them where they can find you. Tell them what you got coming up in the future.
Yeah, so I YouTube Angry Cops, Twitter Angry Cops. I do long and short form informational videos about current events in the military and in law enforcement. Some of the ones I do are shooting breakdowns like we had in Minnesota a week ago, and then the one this week. So there's also
It's been a pleasure, man. Thank you.
I'm here to announce a new, extremely exciting product at the alexjonesstore.com, and that's MindFuel. Brought to you by the same folks that developed Optimal Human. This is an Optimal Human product. We set out with our sponsor, Bigley, to come out with a clean, nootropic energy shot that doesn't have any letdown, but gives you clean energy. This stuff is so strong, though, I take half a shot in the morning. It's a big shot. And another half in the afternoon, I need to work late. But again, you can still sleep on it because it's not a traditional stimulant. So if you loved Optimal Human, the strongest, best, super nutrient-packed green drink out there, available right now at TheAlexJones.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And when I go through these ingredients, go research these for yourself and then know, when you find out how great they are, that we have the very best and the very strongest in this product, Mind Fuel, available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic based energy. Zero calories, sugar free, benefit, no crash, no blood sugar spike. Advantage can be used daily without guilt and is good for your whole body, not just your brain. Caffeine free formula, smooth, clean energy. Advantage, ideal for caffeine sensitive users and late day use. Nootropic Alpha GPC, Citricoline, DMAE, GABA. Benefit supports mental clarity and focus. Advantage competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot. And the best part is, it's an adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend. Balanced, grounded energy. Advantage appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. And then it's got high-quality electrolytes and a spectrum of high-quality B. If you love our other products, theolicshowstore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And if you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue or our Shilajit or Irish sea moss or our bovine colostrum, you're crazy. These are all incredible products. Get your Mind Fuel now at theolicshowstore.com and help keep us on the air on Powering Your Life.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.